Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace with you. And what's going on, everybody? Well, we got a whole bunch of stuff going on and a whole bunch of nothing, but the markets look really quirky, like something's happening. We saw bonds flying, oil flying, dollar weaker, markets really jittery. A lot going on, but also I think the big news of yesterday was the Saudis trying to deal with the frackers. Trying to get them to price fix and collude. Of course, the Saudis have nothing to worry about there. They can simply just run away. But the guys, if they do it here, of course, you end up in jail. So we'll see how that plays out. But other than that, not a lot going on. And thought we'd share Monday night with you. So let's check out what we talked about on Monday. You'll see some very interesting things, I think. And here we go.
And what's up? What's up? Welcome to Monday night. What's going on, everybody? Are investors trying to pick up nickels in front of a steamroller? I don't know. Pretty crummy jobs number, although somebody today made it out like it was a great jobs number. And I go, yeah, weather sucks. Red Sox lost. Yeah, I know. I like the Red Sox, unfortunately. The jobs number, look, the jobs number stink. They're going to stink until companies quit taking the money and start reinvesting. All they're doing now is buying back their stock and cutting back on help and employees because there's no affordable health care. You know, a lot of reasons why, but that's what's going on. So they can rave about these jobs. They can talk whatever they want. They can talk about the 0.5% increase in wages. The real jobs that people want to work, they're not working. That's what I see. I'm certainly, if anybody sees differently, please tell me. Now, again, if you're a coder or something like that, you got no problem. There's millions of jobs available. But unfortunately, old men like me don't have that availability. So anyways, first of all, to all my Canadian friends, happy Thanksgiving. Okay, to Canada, happy this Thanksgiving in Canada. So happy Thanksgiving. And, of course, happy Columbus Day to everybody. And just a reminder, if you're interested, we're going to go to Vegas in December 13th, 14th for a two-day gig. And of course, we had a lot of fun last year. So we had so much fun last year. We're going to do it again this year. And of course, we'll trade the Fed live on Wednesday, which will be the Fed announcement. So just shoot me an email at bub@bubbatrading if you're interested. And also, the speculation trades have been doing really well, the day trading, the futures. So any interest, check it out. But in the meantime, no call ever starts before we use our words of wisdom from our friend Connie. And smart people learn from their mistakes. Wise people learn from the mistakes of others. And, of course, we're trying to always, you know, learn from our own mistakes and learn from the mistakes of others, which is what I try to share because I've made more than my fair share. And hopefully you're learning the things not to do. But there's, you know, there's a lot going on. And, of course, you know, when the markets are quiet, mistakes are more plentiful because it's easier because there's nothing going on. So we're always trying to force a trade. We're looking for a trade. We're trying to make something happen. And of course, the one thing we always have to remember is the market's always right. So there's no reason to try to fight what the market's doing. We have to stay and try to stay the course. And, you know, the quote Jesse Livermore, which is, you know, he's just said, you know, I made most of my money just sitting. And I think that's, well, sometimes you just got to sit. And it's hard to do, especially if you're used to being active. It's a very tough thing to do. So, 12th, I forgot where they were already. You know, I'm old. I can't remember that. I can't remember that long ago. I think it was the 13th and 14th, Wednesday and Thursday. I think we're going to stay at the Orleans this time, too. Okay. So, we got to learn from, we got to keep learning. You know, mistakes are not fatal. It's a learning process all the time. You know, you're learning, you're trying to learn every single day. That's your goal and your objective, is to continue to learn how whatever you're doing works. You know, we trade stocks, we trade futures, we trade options. You know, we want to make sure that we understand the different classifications of all products. And that's all something that we want to make sure that we understand. And of course, no call. Of course, I get the bitch all night, but I always start with my Bubba's bitch. And gee, well, look at it is forcing trades in a market that's not, is not for trading. You know, look, it's easy to find trouble in the market. Okay. It's easy to find trouble anywhere if you want to find it. But again, there's times that you just should sit back and not try to find that trouble, because again, what you're really doing is you're putting yourself in a bad position that's going to be very difficult to get out of. You know, when the markets don't move, when there's no volatility, you know what you end up with, right? You end up with nothing. You end up with a big headache. All right. And that is something that we have to always focus on, is when markets aren't moving, we got to sit back and try to wait. Now, it doesn't mean no markets are moving. It doesn't mean there isn't anything to trade. But what it does mean is that don't try to force something. Don't try to impose your will or your opinion on the market. Okay. Because that's not always going to be the best thing for you to do. All right. So the Dow, I mean, you know, we go up. We do nothing but go up. Right. And I said that, you know, I would not be a seller. I said the only thing you could really want to do, if you want to do anything, was be a buyer. Well, we never even came down to the opportunity to potentially buy, okay, at 22.4. You know, again, look, we're going up right now, and you know, there's nothing to really to really think about here. Is that, you know, look, either you can look for a spot to pull on a pullback to buy, or you can just sit on the sidelines to sell here. All right, now again, I'd love to sell here, but to sell here is really is saying, okay, I'm smarter than everything, and I'm going to outthink and outsharp the market here. It just doesn't work. Now, I don't know where this late volume came in, but there must have been some late volume, because the volume was pathetic all day in everywhere. So, you know, we'll see, you know, where we stand, you know, with this. But at the end of the day, there's no reason to try to sell it. I mean, you know, somebody's going to say, well, but what, isn't this a double top? Yeah, it could be. But remember, double tops work best in a market that's trending lower. Double bottoms work best in a market that's trending higher. So for me to say that I don't want to sell should just tell you that it's probably not the right time to sell. I mean, I'm always ready. All right. So I would say you get a pullback, you know, 22. Now you could look at 22.6 if you want. And again, I'm not advocating buying here, but that would be the first place that I would consider. And then 22.4 again. And we might turn over from here. But right now, again, we're not going to get it. We don't want to be first. We want to be right. Okay. S&P, Sierra Papa X-ray. And of course, it looks pretty similar. A little bit steeper on the up move, you know, trying to catch up. But again, new high after new high, you know, until Friday and today. In the meantime, again, you know, could I say sell at 2550? Yeah, I mean, I could say it, but it really is not the right trade, in my opinion. I would think you'd be better off looking at, and again, I'd look here at, you know, probably, you could look at 2530, somewhere around there, if you wanted to step in. Again, I don't think stepping in is right either. I think it goes back to my cartoon on the front, you know, trying to pick up nickels in front of a bulldozer. Now, again, we could continue to grind like this for a while. I'll look at that later, Ken. I got no problem. We can continue to try to fight what's going on in the market, or you can just sit it out and look for some opportunities. And I think that's probably the better trade. You know, I don't want to get too crazy here. I'd like, you know, if we had volatility, I could be a little.
And of course, we'll pick up that when we come back from the break. But if we had volatility, I don't want to get crazy. There's nothing really to do. I mean, it feels like there's going to be something happening soon. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget Bubba's daily updates. You can get those for free. Email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. I'll send them to you. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz, and we're looking at some stuff for Monday. But, you know, again, there's a lot. It feels like something's happening. It smells like something's happening, but we now need something to happen. But let's get back to Monday night and see what's going on. Here we go.
I could afford and try to be a little bit more aggressive. But since we don't, I'm giving up a double edge. I got no market movement, and I've got nothing to go along with it. So it makes it more sense. Now, the NASDAQ printed a new high today. Okay, so this made another new high, then closed below. Doesn't mean anything. I would think here, if you're looking, you know, you can only, again, you can only be a buyer right now, 65.50. You know, if you want, and again, I'm not advocating either thing, but, you know, I expect to see, you know, what they call some backing and filling, so maybe some sideways trade. I mean, we had a pretty big up move. A lot of the indexes, if you look at that stuff, are overbought. So you would expect to see either some consolidation or a little bit of selling. But I don't think that's going to be the selling that we're going to get. We're going to make money off of, right? Again, we want to see, just to remind everybody, we want to see this, okay, because we want to be able to sell the subsequent rally that comes off of that and then look for it to fail. This was looking like it was going to fail, but it did not. But that's kind of the action that we're looking for, and that will give you a better trade. You'll be able to stay in it longer, and you'll be able to make more on it. The Russell, Romeo Uniform Tango. This is flattened out after, it's amazing. This has been, we have to all admit that this has been the wildest index. I mean, it was in a correction territory already. It's like breaking out. And now, of course, we just kind of sit here on the top, again, really consolidating. So the blow off, you know, we thought that this was a blow off here. Okay. And then it looked like it made a blow off here. Well, this would be considered a blow off, but now blow offs don't have to reverse and go the other way. The blow off itself can be resolved in consolidation. Now, the only thing I could make a case for if I wanted to, and again, I'm not really interested in making a case with the current market action, but I could tell you that we've made, you know, three consecutive lower lows and three consecutive lower highs. That could be a start, but that could be just a bull flag too. So I'm not, again, for my money, I just assume wait and look at some other stocks. I don't think there's much play in these indexes right now. You know, I just don't think that you're doing yourself a favor by trying to trade them or trying to be smarter. I think there's better plays out there that give you a higher probability from, you know, risk to reward. So I would just kind of be neutral pretty much across the board. If you need to get in, you could look to buy somewhere. Crude oil. Charlie Lima. Let me put up November. Okay. Oh, dang. Dang, 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 dang. Okay, so as we thought last week, it would be a sale, and of course it is. And it's now back in this consolidation. Now, this is a classic, you know, trending lower pattern, and, you know, this goes down, you know, all the way to last year. And so now this is when you want to sell. Now, I think 50 is probably a pretty good spot to sell this. It's up a little bit today, try to turn it around, but I'd be a seller at 50. And I think we're going to probably test out 46. I think we're on our way to 40, but it may take a little bit longer. So, you know, here we're looking to sell. There, if you're looking for a trade, you know, look to trade in the oil spot. That would be something that would be pretty reasonable to look at. I think that really makes a lot of sense. And, of course, you know, you've had OPEC manipulating it for a year. And, of course, it's only lost 12% of its value. So that, they didn't do a very good job at manipulating. But here we're a seller at 50. I'm a seller at 50, 52, and 55. And if it gets over that, then I'd have to get out. But I don't see that happening. Gold, Golf Charlie. Did you guys see that move since Friday? We did the live call Friday morning in futures. Man, look at that. I wish it wasn't a day trade. I'd like to still be. Look at it. Look at this move. This thing popped off the bottom of 1262. And today it got up to 1280. Oh, this is today. Sorry. It got up to 1286, almost 1287. Look at that. I mean, now this was a beautiful move right off the support. Popped right up. Now, again, I would expect that if it gets that high, 1300 should probably be some resistance. I'm really not a seller here yet. I think that gold has kind of turned the corner and is looking to work its way higher. I'd rather look for a spot to be a buyer, and I would be a buyer. You know, I'd wait, see how it trades out here. I would expect it to find some resistance here shortly, though, and see some selling. I mean, that move off of the low on Friday was incredible. It was like a $21 reversal. So I look to be a buyer at, let's say, 1262. I think you'll definitely find some resistance at 1300, if not before. But I'm not going to be a seller here. I'm only looking for spots to be a buyer right now. I think there's some, I think there's some hidden fear out there. Not that gold is the place you run to, but that gold is the place that everybody else runs to. So we might as well try to capitalize on that. Excuse me. The bonds. Well, we got it right. It took us a little while, but we got it right. And they continue to get hammered. And of course, we had a little bit of a slight rally today. But I think, again, you'll look for a spot to sell them. And I think today's sale, we'd probably want to sell at about 153. I think that'd be a pretty good level. You know, this is really getting pretty ugly, which is kind of what we expected. It took a little bit of time, but I think you want to look for these two to work their way lower. And I think that you look at, like I said, 153, that'd be pretty good. We're probably going to test 150 would be the next target on the downside. And then probably a bounce, and then we're probably going to go lower. I mean, I would suspect that we're going to see probably down below here. We'll see new lows in this contract. It should be, we'll be in the 140s, I think, pretty soon. If not, either, in the next, couple of weeks or at least by the end of the year. Will a rising U.S. dollar pressure gold? Well, it should, but I think that trade is over. All right. I explained to you in a minute, because we're going to get there in 1 second anyway. So let's go right to the dollar. All right. Now, gold, commodities are dollar denominated. Okay. And they should benefit from the weaker dollar, and they should benefit and be hurt by the stronger dollar. However, none of them benefited from the weaker dollar all the way down. We came down from 104. Okay. And we got all the way down to 91, and the commodities were still under pressure. And I think that the dollar is more passe now. I don't know that it's generally a great guide because of all the manipulation. I think it's been kind of laid in, and I don't think we're going to have that kind of stuff happening anymore. Now, again, am I right? I don't know, but I don't expect that the dollar, gold was $100 shy of where it was the last time the dollar was down there. And of course there is some, I think a bigger story for gold is the cryptocurrencies. I think they're more apt to cause gold to lose value because I think some money is shifting into those. So in the dollar, I think, we thought 94 would be a little bit of resistance, and it is. Now, again, I'm not a seller. I'm only a buyer of the dollar right now. I would look to be a buyer probably around 93. I'm convinced that we'll probably get back to the buck, as they say, or 100. So, but I'd look to see a pullback to 93. And I think then I'd be willing to buy again or add on to my position. I'm not at all surprised that it failed the first time up here. It may fail the next time up as well. So, but the dollar is still, I still think we're going much higher now that we've cleared the bottoms and cleaned up everything. The euro currency, of course, mirrors the dollar. And, I would think that, you could probably look at this now at 119 would probably be a pretty good level to sell it. By the way, if you don't understand what that means, it's $1.19, basically. I would think that, that would be a pretty good level to go ahead and sell it. There is a chance we could pop to 120 again. But I do believe that you're going to start to see the ECB step in here. One of the things that, they're concerned about is that their dollars are too strong. And now they're having a lot of trouble, obviously, there with Catalonia and all the other issues that are going on. And everybody wants to leave the euro. So that could create some problems. So you could see some ECB intervention here as well, because again, the higher prices typically hurt manufacturing and shipping goods. And then of course the British pound. All right, we're getting down to now we're almost ready to buy. I said like 130. All right. We're getting close. I think we can try to hold off for 130 a little bit longer. I mean, we had a great move up, from the down from the lows, and I think that, we'll get ready to look at that ZXB as well. But right now, we'll still be a buyer at 130. I'm not a seller here at all.
And of course, we'll come back and get the VIX as well. But again, you can see the pattern and where I'm thinking about these markets. But again, we're not going to try to be too aggressive because it doesn't make a lot of sense. We can't benefit until we get some volume and volatility. So that's the very key parts of the market here. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only home you need to get your information. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm, you can download the Bubba Show every day as well as the Sporting Edge. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update, which is emailed to you every day after the close. You can get it. Just email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com, and I will send it to you complimentary. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to step out here for a break. We will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It is me, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course we're recapping and talking a little bit. But let's check out what's happened. We'll hear the VIX and then some news stories. Here we go. Let's go back to it.
And of course, the VIX. What happened to my VIX? Actually, I had a pretty good rally today. Pretty good. But again, this downtrend. Okay, I don't want to see these popping days. I want to see it start to trend higher. You know, I expect before we get anything, we might take out the print low of 884. You know, we made a new closing low on Thursday, but that did not meet the print low, which was made in July. But again, this is, you know, a 68 cent rally in the VIX is not, you know, some people are going to say, oh, it's 6%. Okay, well, all right, it's 6%. In the meantime, we need to see a steady rally, not this, you know, one-day wonder or two-day wonder, especially into a market that had absolutely zero interest. I mean, I think the futures, which is a more accurate gauge. Here, this is what I was talking about. The futures are a more accurate gauge of volume. Look at this volume. I mean, I'm not in a higher hurry getting anything here. This doesn't make a lot of sense. So at the end of the day, we don't look very good. We're not very strong, and we're going to sit back and relax. I don't see any reason to jump into anything here. Investors are mentally exhausted. They understand there's nothing normal in this market. Okay, well, that's these are like warning signs, right? When you start hearing, I heard that the Economist had a bull on the cover, and now you've got people on TV saying that this time is different, and now this market's not normal. It's the same as any other market. It's quiet. Happens all the time. You know, at what degree, you never know. We do know that the yields have collapsed. And of course, even the speculative yields are collapsing because everybody's chasing yield. This movie never ends up good. Okay, it ends up good if you're a long-term investor, if you're hedged or whatever. But if you're looking to try to pick tops or bottoms, it never ends up good here. And this is what you're seeing now. You're seeing a mass run into the markets, over leveraged, over margined, margin debt at all-time record highs again. Now, again, does it mean it can't last? No, it could last for another, who knows? But eventually it will turn around. And that's why I say let's not be in a hurry, you know, as long as volume remains as it. So everybody is now, it's not the normal market. Well, it's the same market as any other market, just different factors involved in it, but it's still the same kind of market. Oil back below 50, the end of the inflationary jump. I don't know, what do you think? You know, this is the biggest joke. This may be one of the biggest jokes in history, is the inflation target anyways. I mean, you know, inflation should be built on true price discovery, not on an artificial manipulated market. You know, this Fed and their inflation target so they can charge us more taxes. I don't know. Not a fan. European central banks to extend quantitative easing. And what does that do? You know, and this is something that, you know, they've got a lot of issues there. They're in tremendous problems with their pensions. Okay, just like here, all right, but worse. And you know, we continue to forget about everything that's going on because nobody cares. And this is, again, what you'll start to see. And again, is it today? I have no idea. But the things that we're seeing, these are all signs that 10 years from now, economists will come back and say, I told you that was a bubble 10 years ago. All right. But they didn't tell us when it was happening. Right? This is all their blindness to what is actually going on with real people in the real world. You know, they, those guys live in a glass tower that have never worked really in a real job where they had to actually figure out how to do something on the jump. Everything they've ever done has been out of a book. And of course, what does it do to other nations? It creates a lot bigger problems, right? Because, you know, everybody's kind of linked. You know, this global economy is kind of linked together. How are the finances in Japan versus Europe? Horrible. You know, listen, Japan owns 55% of their stock market. Again, they own it because it's all artificial paper, money that they printed. You know, we're like swapping debt with everybody. It's really quite a joke when you think about it. But this is also why the strive for, you know, a cashless type of system so that nobody can account for what's going on here. We would all roll over if we knew what was actually going on. You know, you hear the number $4.5 trillion. That's what we've printed. You know, I keep hearing Barney, you know, saying the market has created $5 trillion of wealth. And I go, yeah, it took you $4.5 trillion to get that. And we haven't paid the debt back yet. So what good is it? All right. But that's, again, these are issues that are big. All right. The pension, your pension storm. Right? Again, you know, they have a unique system there. You know, you get lots of time off and a whole bunch of stuff going on. This is going to be, you know, the drag of debt is going to be huge against all of these big deals. And we don't, you know, everybody just, again, just another, it's just another warning sign. We have the same problems here. Okay. Not quite to the degree that they do, but we do have very similar problems. And most of our private pensions are in trouble. You know, Central States pays out $4 every $1 they take in. You know, not a good model. Puerto Rican bonds collapsed 36 cents on the dollar. You know, and that was, of course, Trump said something when he was out there and, you know, the bonds went down. Again, this is, they're going to pay that money back, I would assume. I would assume that the Puerto Rican debt's probably pretty good to buy around here somewhere because they can't afford to screw the bondholders because they won't get money ever again. You know, one thing about setting up bonds, all right, now these, you know, there's a number of different, you know, revenue bonds, there's collateralized debts, there's collective, I can't remember all the names right now, but in the meantime, collateralized. But anyways, these are debt. If they don't satisfy this debt and figure out how to pay it back at some point, then they'll never get money again. All right, that's the one thing, that's why bonds are typically a little bit safer. But they got hit. I, like I said, I would assume they'd probably be somewhat of a buyer. Send the Marines to collect. And worthless Puerto Rican debt. Again, we heard that many, many times. And, you know, to this point, nobody's gone bankrupt yet. All right. You know, obviously they weren't going to ever let New York go bankrupt. But if you remember, New York had some big financial troubles and their bonds were as dirt cheap as you could get. And of course, everybody made a lot of money. Whoever gave them the money made a lot of money. You buy them from a broker. You know, you'd have to know somebody who was, you know, a bond seller. I mean, they're available. You just have to go to the right guys. You know, you call your, you know, you can start with your broker and ask them where you could buy them at. Jobs, you know, I don't know. I thought the jobs number stunk, my personal self. I heard a guy today talking about how good it was, and I hear them talking about, you know, they had the belt and excuse of the hurricanes. So that you knew that was an automatic. But when they talk about hourly wages improving, we are not typically an hourly wage country. We're more salary based. The better jobs in this country are salary based. I mean, we're not a minimum wage society, but they're basing everything on minimum wage jobs. I don't understand how we can continue to be fooled or tricked by what they're trying to tell us. I don't get it. I mean, you know, in including my friend, the president, all right? I mean, you know, jobs are not so great. You know, I don't care what he says. You know, I wish they were great. Look, a good economy, good jobs is better for everybody, all right? This is not good, this situation. Of course, this isn't good either. The UNLV professor gets caught on tape blaming Trump for the Las Vegas massacre. Have we lost our minds in this country? I mean, I don't care if you like him or not. At the end of the day, we need to just get through this. I mean, he's got 4 or 8 years. It's the system. There's a lot of things here. I mean, you know, we got people teaching this crap. I mean, this is a joke. The crypto gold rush. Now, I personally believe that Bitcoin and the others, Ethereum and Monero and Dash and whatever, I believe that they're taking some of the money from gold. I believe that people are investing in these as if they were a safe haven asset. And there are some good points to be made from this. And that would be, the first one would be, you know, if you had, let's say, $100,000, okay? Not so easy to pick up and move with $100,000 of gold, right? So, you know, whereas if you have $100,000 in Bitcoin, you know, it's on your phone or whatever, it's electronic. You know, if you're trying to leave the country, you know, there's a lot of reasons to believe. And again, I'm not a total believer yet. I mean, you know, I haven't even made my first, I said it about 3 weeks ago, I was going to step in a little bit and buy some. I just haven't done it yet. But I do understand the concept, and I do understand why people might buy this instead of or in addition to. Again, I'm not that much of a believer yet, but I mean, I'm a believer from the gambler side of me that I'm going to take a shot and gamble on a small amount. But from an actual put real money into it that I think is going to be there for a while, I'm not to that point yet. Okay. But I do think that it is creating some issues. And I think that's key. That is one of the things that's keeping the price down on gold, which we talked about a little bit earlier. Can anyone beat Jeff Bezos? Well, I give him all the credit in the world. I don't particularly care for him, but I give him all the credit in the world. He's smart. He built this monster business that everybody felt when it started in the 90s, I believe, they were going out of business. And, of course, he's been able to sustain. He's been able to wipe out all businesses.
And we'll come back and talk more about Jeff Bezos and my opinions of him after the break. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, you know, always trying to help you watch out for your money. Of course, that one of the things you can do to help that is to email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com and get my daily updates. They're free. Love to share what I'm thinking about the markets. And also continue to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can also get the Sporting Edge there and, you know, check out what we're doing. We got a lot of unique programs going on. And, you know, again, we give a lot of information for you for free. So make sure you go to thebubbatrading.com and check it out and get signed up for our Bubba's Bottom Line and Bubba's Daily Updates. We'll be back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we're talking about Jeff Bezos and Amazon. In the meantime, let's get back to that right now. Here we go.
In front of them, between them and Walmart, I think that's all that we'll have basically have left in this world. I think that's a problem. Now, again, I'm not asking for government intervention because I don't believe in that. But they did allow him to get so big that he has put everybody out of business. And what I'm afraid of, okay, is, as we look at the next slide, because this is part of it, you know, they may get into the drugstore business. You know, Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, and tumble on Amazon scare. Well, again, of course they're worried because, you know, if you work like they do, you know, the drugstore will be just there for the last minute thing that you need. You had to go to the emergency room. You need a prescription filled. But, and now with Amazon sometimes delivering in an hour, you may not even need that. But my problem is that they've systematically wiped out almost every retailer between them and Walmart. You know, everybody was worried about Walmart. You know, but nobody wanted Walmart in their neighborhood either when they first came out. And now you're going to have Walmart and Amazon. And my question is do they ever end up colluding and start raising prices because there's nobody to compete against them anymore? And because of the inavailability of cash to borrow, you know, can they actually take over and kind of, you know, reverse the situation? I'm not saying they can or they will, but it'd be one of my concerns. I don't like when there's not enough competition where we can get a freer market. You know, price fixing was very prevalent in the vitamin industry years ago until they get caught. So we'll see. I'm not a Bitcoin person. Most people are selling these new ones and not established. Yeah, my question is every day they come out with a new one. All right. You know, I think there's like 600 different cryptocurrencies. I don't know. I talked to a guy today about Cloudcoin. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, to me, like I said, I would play it just as a gambling trade. You know, something, you know, it's like an investment you make in, you know, in like in a penny stock or whatever. This would be my penny stock play. Go after Big Pharma. Again, I'm sure they will. Look, I want to see free markets. All right, we don't have true free markets right now. I want to see price discovery. I want asset classes to price themselves. That's all I want to have happen. The rest I can live with. Is this the melt up in the market before stocks melt down? Again, you know, this is my image of the people telling me that the markets are never going down again, and the advisors that want my money in the market so they can get paid. You know, these are the issues that I have with the market now, because everybody wants to get paid. So they want to make sure that you get all your dough in. And of course, I believe that they're leading a lot of people astray, but there's no place to go. So I'm worried about that. The things that I worry about are the retired, the fixed income people, because they're in too deep in these markets. I think they've got an issue. Bubba Coin. Yeah. Technical indicators flash long-term warning signs. You know what? I read all this garbage, and at the end of the day, I don't know. Is there warning signs? Yeah, there's warning signs, but what does that mean? You know, the warning sign means that, well, at some time in the next, who knows, fill in the blank, weeks, years, months, days, whatever, that we're going to sell off. We already know that, right? You know, the Hindenburg omen, this omen, that omen. I got so many omens, I don't know, I got to keep praying, you know, to get by all the omens. At the end of the day, you know, I think that, you know, that we sell off at some point. The technical indicators are giving some concern and the lack of volume, the lack of volatility, the lack of interest, the overcomplacency. Those are all things that should be concerning you, but it shouldn't stop you and it shouldn't prevent you from doing anything. Again, you do your normal thing and that's the end of the day. And of course, I love this. Okay. And the only reason I brought this up is because they had this, they knew all this years ago, and now they're putting it out. Why they chose, you know, in this case, 13 years later to talk about this dope. I mean, you know, everybody knew this stuff was going on. You know, this is not news. Why didn't they put it out, you know, in 2004? You know, this is what I don't understand. And nobody cares. That's the other thing I don't understand, you know, but that's just my two cents. Now, this is another issue that I have, okay? Google suddenly discovers the questionable Russia ads. Really? I mean, probably the most powerful technology company in the world. They just now discovered it. Somebody help me out with that. I got to get a better feel for what's going on here, that suddenly they just figured it out. You know, this is what I love about technology. You know, most of us, I mean, me for sure, I wouldn't know what the hell was going on anyways. Okay. I mean, I had to get an emergency Wi-Fi installed in my computer today because I was afraid I'd go down. I've been having issues again. And so I had to have somebody come and do that. So now here we are, Google, the most powerful, you know, that every time I go on Google, now I get ads from every place I've ever been to. And they're telling me they're not just now finding out. I mean, them and Zuckerberg, they're all full of crap, in my opinion. But that's just me. They saw it yesterday in 60 Minutes. Remember Corzine? Yeah. I remember Corzine. plausible deniability. Yeah, I see you guys are all the smartest. That's what's the good thing. You guys are all got all this. You got all this down. All right. I just get frustrated with it because it's so irritating to have these guys and all this BS. It's like we don't know any better, and that's what really bothers me more than anything else. They treat us like we don't know any better, like we're not smart enough to figure it out. All right, let's look at some stocks. Let's see if we can find some opportunities. Right, so, Apple, Alpha Alpha Papa Lima. So we want to be a seller, 155, 158, or 160. Now I'm still in the same ball camp. I'd love to be a seller. You know, I want to see what's going on here, but I'd look to be a seller. Probably I would wait now. Either I'd like to see a breakdown below 155 and rally back into it, or I'd like to sell it at 158. I'm definitely not a buyer. I do think that you probably have seen, for the time being, the highs in Apple. Let's not forget Zuckerberg. Yeah. they're all great, aren't they? That's a problem. They're too smart, right? All right. So I think you look for this. I mean, this looks to me like it wants to work lower. I see no reason, you know, again, certainly if you own it long term, I mean, I can't, there's nothing bad about the company. I think that they'll be fine. But again, you know, we're getting at these valuations again that just don't make sense. And at some point, you know, you can only forward think. You know, markets, just so you know, everybody understands, markets always are forward thinking. You know, they're ahead of the curve. And, you know, right now we're pricing in tax cuts, we're pricing in all these things that I don't think are going to happen anyways. But even if they do, to me, this would be a buy the rumor, sell the news information anyways. So I'm looking to be a seller here. AMBA, Alpha Michael Bravo Alpha. All right, this is now broken through my 50. If it comes back below 50, I would like to be a seller. I'm already short, but I'd like to get shorter. Obviously, I don't like the action it's having right now. It's not very healthy. It's actually trying to work higher. So we got to see how it plays off of today's action. But I'd like to see it, you know, it should come back down off of this 50 low. This fills all the gaps and brings us right back to where we are now. All right. So that would be, you know, what I'd like to see from here. All right. Is that we now come back below here and then we should probably go back down to about 46. So we'll see. You know, it'd be a little bit tenuous here. I mean, I'd like to sell it. We're going to call it neutral, but I'm going to explain to you what I'd be looking for. Okay. Cause I don't want to put it out without giving you an explanation. It needs to come back below 50 and then try to rally and fail going through. Cause this is still, to me, this is just still considered up the top. This is not an official breakout yet. So let's see if this is a false breakout. That's what we're trying to find out. Okay. Amazon, Alpha Michael Zulu November. So we said last week that we wouldn't be surprised if it came all the way back up to the 990 level. And sure enough, here we are. Now, I think this is a pretty good sale in here. And I think this is probably as close to a screaming sale as you'll ever get. Now, again, it's not one to be real aggressive. It doesn't void the rules that there's nothing going on. Okay. So just because this sets up as a potential screaming sale, which it doesn't eliminate or void that there's no activity.
And that's one thing you always have to do when you're trading is follow the rules. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed the presentation today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. LibertyTalk.fm is where you download the show every day, including The Sporting Edge. And, of course, get Bubba's Bottom Line every single day after the market closes. I email it to you, and it's free, and check it out. In the meantime, thank you so much for being here. Everybody have a great day. I always appreciate having you as part of my audience, and we will see you back here tomorrow, the same time, same station, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.